Before I start, I want to make one announcement that I forgot, and it's a very important announcement. Every one of you that can, I want you to be at church next Sunday morning, because this preacher's going to do something she's never done before. I've never baptized anybody, but I get to baptize my great-granddaughter next Sunday morning. So I want all of you that can to come and be with us for this occasion. The story's told of that one time there was a little boy that was asked to define Father's Day. And he thought about it and he says, well, I guess it's just like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the gift. Did you know that the number of long-distance phone calls that are made on Mother's Day? And did you know that the largest number of collect phone calls are made on Father's Day? Does anybody know where the idea of Father's Day actually come from? The story is told that there was a woman named Sonora Dodd from Spokane, Washington, that was listening to a Mother's Day sermon back in 1909. And her mother had died, leaving her father to raise her and her five brothers and sisters. And she decided that she wanted to do something special for her father for making all the sacrifices that he had made over the years to raise these six children by himself. In the eyes of his daughter, he was a courageous, selfless, and a loving man. And this man was born in the month of June. So she chose June the 19th in 1910 to be the first Father's Day celebration. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. And in 1972, Father's Day was established as a national holiday. So it sounds like that Mr. Dodd that we're talking about was a very good father. But was he perfect? Unfortunately, the answer to that question is no. We could spend our entire lives looking for the perfect father or the perfect mother or the perfect child for that matter. However, none would be found. We can all say what we wish that our parents had or had not done, but they did those things. They did good things. They did bad things. And we ask ourselves as parents, would things have been different if we had done things differently? Yeah, probably. But we can't change the past. However, we can reshape our future and the future of our children and the future of our grandchildren. God didn't throw the clay away, as Daniel and Dana talked about, so he could take us as clay and reshape us and remold us into the parents that we should be. The Bible's filled with stories about the lives of men that we could use as an example of what a godly father should be. And one of the most outstanding of these people that are role models for the ideal father, I would have to say would be Joshua. And my scripture today comes from Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 14 through 18. Joshua 24, 14 through 18. While you're turning to that, I want to talk to you for just a minute about what's going on in the life of Joshua. A lot's happening. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, Moses has just died. And God has commissioned Joshua to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. And as the children of Israel began to conquer the promised land, because it wasn't just a walk in the park, it took them a long time because they had to encounter the people of different kings and different cities that had to be conquered. But they were going in the name of the Lord. So in a way, it was a walk in the park because they had God on their side. And as the children of Israel began to conquer these lands inside the promised land, they encountered pagan worship. They encountered people that did not believe in Jehovah God. They worshiped idols. They allowed themselves to just whatever come along, they worshiped it. Whatever happened, that was okay with them. And Jehovah God was not a part of the picture. And as a result of their sin and their wickedness in these towns, the Lord handed them over to be conquered by Joshua and the armies of Israel. We go on to read about how that Joshua followed the plan that God had outlined for him. He did to the letter exactly what God said to do. He had the people follow the Ten Commandments. To have no other God before you. So when they conquered a city, everything in the city was destroyed. And every life was taken. We go on to see how that periodically through all of this, Joshua renews his covenant with the Lord to be obedient. And as a result of Joshua's obedience during this period of time, through the leadership of the Lord Jehovah God, Joshua slew 31 kings. Because of his obedience to God. Just prior to our lesson for today, Joshua is assigning each tribe, each of the 12 tribes of Israel, he's assigning them their allotted territory for them to live in within the promised land. In chapter 23, Joshua exhorts a people to stay true to their faith and to the Father God, and not to turn away from Him. This brings us to our text today in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, same Bible that's in your pew. "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples and the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The King James Version of this scripture says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was no spring chicken when all this happened. He was 110 years old. And he summoned all the leaders to Shechem for a farewell address. And he charged these people, he says, "Obey the Lord who fought for them and gave them an inheritance." And he told them, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And then he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who was he referring to? He was referring to Jehovah God that we're here today to worship in spirit and in truth. Joshua was one of those people that I like to think of him as being like Daniel's daddy. Seems like I refer to Daniel's daddy a lot. But Joshua was one of those people that had served with Moses for 40 years, and he led Israel into the promised land, and he led the armies of Israel through the conquering of Canaan land for another 25 years. But he was one of those people that he was in charge. He was in charge when the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho fell down. In Joshua chapter 12, it has a list of 31 kings that Joshua, through the anointing of the Lord, destroyed. Joshua was one of those people that, like Daniel's daddy, when he spoke, everybody shut up and listened. Because they knew that when he opened his mouth, you might not like what was going to come out of it, but you best pay attention to it because it was valid. It had meaning. I don't ever remember hearing Daniel's dad waste words because he said what he meant and he meant what he said. And Joshua was that kind of leader. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. So whenever he said something, the people paid attention. They paid attention because they knew that Joshua was in tune with the Heavenly Father and that God was leading him to make the decisions that he made. If you were to make a list of the things that a Heavenly Father would do, there are two things that I would have to give Joshua credit for. Joshua was the priest in his own house. And two, he had a plan for his home. As priest of his home, Joshua acknowledged and accepted the responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. He knew that he could not function as a priest of his home without maintaining a close relationship with God. As a father today, you may go through the motions of being a great dad, of having things in control, but the spiritual responsibility of your family is on your shoulders. Joshua also knew that as priest of his home, that it was his responsibility to provide a spiritual education for his family. He had to teach the children the importance of being saved, of trusting in God. And he had to teach them how to trust in God, not just on Sunday morning when you go to church. But he had to teach them to trust in God in every single area of their life by exposing them to worship and witnessing to them about the things that that God had done and that he had done for the children of Israel. So Joshua had a full-time job just telling his descendants, his family, what God had done. How that God had moved and intervened when it looked like there was no hope. God was there in order to be the priest of his home. Joshua had to take off the hat that he wore in battle when he was slaying these 31 kings. He was not the leader of a great army. He had to take that army hat off and become the father who loved and cared for his children. The story is told of a little boy that was very afraid of thunder and lightning. And one night during a storm, he started screaming, "Daddy, come quick, I'm scared." And his father came to his bedside and said, "Son, God loves you and he'll take care of you." And the little boy replied, "Daddy, I know God loves me, but right now I want somebody with skin on." And to Joshua, Joshua had skin on as far as his family was concerned. He was a dad. He wasn't just a father. In order to be this kind of loving father, a person must first be loved. And just like any gift that you might receive for Father's Day today, you have to reach out and take that gift. You have to accept that gift of love. And you have to take the wrappings off of it and begin using it. The evangelist Billy Graham makes a statement that God gives us two hands, one to accept love and the other pass it on. And that's the job not only of father, but of mothers also, to pass that love of God on to our families. As a priest of his home, Joshua had a plan. If you don't map out a plan when you're going someplace, if you're going on a road trip, if you're like me, you're very apt to be lost. I'm not good. Daniel, quit laughing. I'm not good with directions at all. But we need to have a plan. We need to strive for unity in our families and in our churches. And when Joshua spoke, his voice rang out with the sound of unity. And when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," it spoke of togetherness. This is what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. There was harmony. And everyone was working for a common goal. They were getting on the same page with what was happening. The reason for the unity in Joshua's home was because of his godly character. His example, Joshua's faith was genuine. And in essence, Joshua's family was saying, "Whatever you say, Dad, I'll agree with you." Because they knew that he was seeking leadership from Jehovah God in the decisions that he made. He knew that when the family was united, that it could withstand the trials and the tribulations and all the fiery darts of Satan that comes to a family. Just as Joshua was the high priest in his home, he had to allow God to be the high priest in his life. He had to allow God to be in control of his life. Is God the Father, the high priest of your life today? Think about it. If not, will you be prepared to fight the battles that you will face as a parent? Being a parent is not an easy job. It's a full-time job. And in our own strength, our own steam, we make mistakes as parents. But I can guarantee you that if we put our faith and our trust in God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we would make a lot less mistakes than what we do. I've made a list of 10 things that I think will guarantee that your name will be removed from the top 10 list of perfect parents. You are not the perfect parent if you fight in front of your children. And when they're guests in the house, you turn around and act all affectionate and loving. And just as soon as that guest leaves, you resume the fight. You take up right where you left off. You will not be a perfect parent if this is your behavior. Number two, you will not be the perfect parent if you use the phrase, "Don't bother me now, I'm busy," when your children ask you a question. Number three, take no interest in your child's friends. Let them choose and spend time with anyone they want to. Four, never discipline your child. Use psychology. On a positive note, one of the best ways to correct your child is to correct the example that you set before them. You're not the perfect child, perfect parent. If you nag your child about their schoolwork and you cut them down when they fail, never compliment them on their achievements. Number six, you're not the perfect parent if you demonstrate your love for them with material things. Why, give that little feller everything his heart desires. You're not doing the kid a favor. Number seven, you're not the perfect parent if you never discuss the facts of life with your child. Instead, let them learn about sex from their friends, public schools, or pornographic material. You're not the perfect child, perfect parent if you set a bad example so that your children will not want to grow up to be like you. That's scary. When we think about the example that we set for our children and our grandchildren, it's real scary. Gives you something to think about. If you want to be a failure as a parent, number nine says, absolutely refuse to believe it if you're told that your child did something wrong. My little Joey would never do such a thing as that. I just don't believe a word you're saying. My child wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. Yes, he did. Don't ever say that your child won't do something, and don't think for one minute that your little darling is perfect. Right, Dana? I must confess, she did not give us near the problems that a lot of children give their parents. But let's look at Joshua here. Joshua had his act together as priest of his home. I ask you today, do you have your act together as a priest of your home? Does anyone that enters into your home know that as for you and your house, that you will serve the Lord? I can't help but think about when Daniel and I were dating 47 years ago, 48 years ago. We dated for 3 months. We were engaged for 3 months, and we got married. But we had millions of conversations during that six-month period. And we discussed our religious beliefs, what we expected out of life, what our goals and our ambitions were. He was raised Baptist. I was raised Pentecostal Holiness. And today we're happy to be Methodist. But we determined that we would not marry each other unless we put God first in our home. And we've had rough times. We've been through some very thorny spots. But we knew that we were putting God first. So God helped us and led us and guided us through those times. Marriage is not easy. Raising children is not easy. But when you do it through the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible to those that believe. Joshua was patterned for his life, followed the guidelines of the Heavenly Father. He was faithful. He was always there. He was trustworthy. He was honoring. He was ever loving. He was righteous, and he was supportive. Doesn't that sound like our Heavenly Father? Sounds just like him to me. This morning you might be carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. But let me tell you, we have a high priest. We have Jesus Christ, our high priest, our elder brother. You can have hope today. You can have encouragement. You can have joy and life everlasting when you repent of your sins and choose him today as the one that you will worship at church and in your home. Receive Christ today. And I hope that you have the most blessed Father's Day ever. But I want to say one more thing. Ladies, you're not exempt. It is our God-given duty as women, as mothers, as wives, to support the man of God in our homes. If there is no man to lead the spiritual education in your home, we must step up to the plate and lead our families to Christ, to Jehovah God. Amen.